It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
President Trump, God help us, says Russia says it did not interfere in the 2016 election. So forget what our intelligence agencies are saying. Forget what journalists are saying. Forget the facts.
You're daddy treason.
I guess that puts that baby to rest. Also, Chairman Kim thinks Donald Trump has nice hair. Welcome to the new Forward Nation Radio with the old David Leventhal, maybe new and improved, enhanced sound experience, which means better sound and fewer pictures of me, though enhanced sound experience with pictures. Anyway, America, don't worry. My face is saying everything that you need to know.com.
What does that even mean?
That's an inside joke. That's part of the younger, hipper Forward Nation Radio. Anyway, welcome to the new format. Today, July 4th, the Patriotism Edition. And what a fitting way to start with the new format. When you're having your July 4th barbecue and saluting the flag, think about what patriotism has come to mean in America right now. It's just come to grips with where we are in patriotism. A point in this country's history where patriotism is about as misused as it was at any point other than when Trump-supporting ancestors seceded from the Union. Where right now, as you salute your flag, recognize that standing up against police violence is deemed unpatriotic, whereas being the agent of a hostile foreign power, that apparently is patriotic. Oh, good. Providing for your family and allowing others to provide for their families is unpatriotic. Looting the country of everything that's not nailed down and some of what is apparently deemed patriotic. Promoting democracy in America and abroad, that is unpatriotic. Denying voting rights to American citizens because they might vote against you and your party, that's patriotic. Fighting for Americans' health and safety is unpatriotic. Denying food and health care to children and millions of Americans is deemed patriotic. Putting out a welcome mat for the world's disadvantaged and abused is deemed unpatriotic, if not criminal. Ripping babies from the arms of their parents, apparently, is patriotism. Courts promoting the rule of law and the rights of the disadvantaged? Well, that's unpatriotic and on the way out. Courts designed to last a really long time under a very young judge who will put the interests of partisanship ahead of the rule of law? That apparently is patriotic. When Samuel L. Johnson talked about patriotism being the last refuge of the scoundrel, could he actually have been foreseeing Donald Trump? Anyway, on this week's show, we're going to start with what we were talking about last time, the Supreme Court pick, but also talk about why liberals always seem to lose. Well, the Supreme Court vacancy that resulted from Anthony Kennedy's retirement, Donald Trump is in the White House right now, we are told, thoughtfully considering various candidates. Think about that for a moment, that people are actually asserting that President Trump is thoughtfully considering anything. Trump is taking from the list of people he's supposed to put on. And here's how one can expect the conversations are going to go in the Oval Office with the president and any likely candidate.
Well, you've been given my name. I got your name from the Alliance Defending Freedom. And from the Heritage Foundation and from the Federalist Society. So I know they like you. My base is going to like you. But I have a few very important questions to ask you before I decide to put your name forward. First of all, are you loyal?
Sykes!
And not to the country. Loyal to the president who nominates you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. Pardons. How do you feel about the president's pardon power. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Right? Unbelievable. The president should be able to pardon anybody, right? Including, hypothetically speaking, himself. If someone were to say that fake news, that he committed some crimes, the president could pardon himself, right? Okay, last very important question. Let's just say that some evil investigator who doesn't like Donald Trump were to come back and try to indict the president for a crime, or for you, or several, I don't know. Hypothetically speaking, would that be okay? Could the Justice Department or Special Counsel indict the President of the United States? No? Okay, you're good.
The fact that we consider to treat the Trump White House and the Republican Party as if there is any serious there, as if there is some effort to promote some kind of ideology even, is absurd. And in fact, the coverage of the Supreme Court vacancy indicates why liberals pretty much always lose. We talked last week about how someone already on NPR was talking about Justice Kennedy as a moderate, as the middle of the court. Well, after last week's show, I'm listening to NPR again. Yeah, two shout-outs for NPR. I support you, NPR. You should be supporting us. Somewhat they had a former clerk to Justice Kennedy on. And the person hosting the show on NPR, presumably the liberal media, pointed out to the former clerk, said that, you know, Justice Kennedy was a moderate.
Oh, please.
How is this going to affect the court that he's gone? And the clerk was moved to say, no, excuse me, I got to stop you there. Kennedy was not a moderate. Kennedy was a conservative. Make no mistake about it. He was a conservative. It just so happened that he was the swing vote on the court because he was the center of the court. But the center of the court wasn't in the center. The center of the court was in conservative land, strongly in conservative territory. Now, of course, with Kennedy gone and about to be replaced by presumably some Gorsuch or Alito clone, some ultra-right wing apparatchik, the center of the court will be moving even further to the right. Not to the right. It will be moving further to the right. Somehow, in my estimation, somewhere in the mid-Atlantic is now going to be the center of the United States Supreme Court. But the fact that the so-called liberal media talks about Kennedy as a moderate, wants to find reasonableness in what he's done and his positions and the conservative side is a problem, because it already biases the deck before anybody even starts on anything. Just recent decisions, remember, just in the last week and a half, with Justice Kennedy, to basically destroy municipal labor unions and by extension whatever is left of private sector unions. Upholding a ban on Muslims coming to the United States. Upholding free speech, but only as long as you're a Christian. In fact, basically upholding Christianity as a national religion. This was all with Kennedy. Abbott v. Perez, upholding a discriminatory Texas districting plan, which we hadn't talked about last week. That was upheld by a 5-4 conservative majority that included Justice Kennedy. But what's forgotten is, not only is he conservative, but the one impact he had on a lot of these decisions, even the 5-4 ones, was somewhat reining in the more conservative and extremist impulses of the conservatives on the right of him on the court. And so those decisions, as awful as they were, at least were written in a way designed to not be as strong a precedent as they otherwise could have been. And in fact, otherwise could have been, because within the next couple of years, that's the way they will be. Because with the center of the Supreme Court moved to the mid-Atlantic, all the restraints are going to be gone. And the media, for the most part, just doesn't come out and say that. It talks about a more rightward shift of the court. More rightward shift? We're jumping off a cliff into very possibly the single most conservative Supreme Court we have ever had. And the media is going to talk about this as a rightward shift because the moderate is moving off the court. And as long as one side can make stuff up and be adamant about it, and the other side can't even speak the truth, say the way things really are, one side is always going to have a huge advantage. Where we're seeing the future of the court already, Trump has indicated some preferences. Trump came out today and pointed out that he wants affirmative action to be ended by universities. Get rid of affirmative action. This has been something on the conservative hit list for a really long time. Because, of course, it might be unfair to white people. We talked a little bit about the Grutter case last week and different analyses under equal protection and how government discrimination is viewed by the United States Supreme Court. It's now 15 years since affirmative action was reaffirmed by the United States Supreme Court. Yes, by, among others, Justice Kennedy, who was until recently the fifth vote to preserve some affirmative action. In the landmark Grutter case 15 years ago, the Supreme Court applied something called strict scrutiny to a test to an affirmative action plan, to a college admissions-based affirmative action plan favoring blacks. Now, what does that mean, strict scrutiny? Government is not allowed to discriminate based on the Equal Protection Clause and all kinds of other aspects of our constitutional law. Government cannot discriminate. But in fact, government does discriminate. Government frequently discriminates. And the question becomes, like, for instance, those of you who are 19 and listening, no matter how mature you are, you can't go out and get a beer afterwards because we discriminate on the basis of age when it comes to buying alcohol. So we do discriminate. And the question comes up when government is treating people differently is how stringent a test government must meet to show that it has a sufficient interest in order to treat people differently. The most difficult standard for government to meet is something called strict scrutiny. I'm getting a little bit into the weeds here, but it's important for you to know the basics here. Strict scrutiny means that the government policy is going to be analyzed with the most rigid criteria. Because this policy is based on either a fundamental freedom that might be violated or something called a suspect classification, where government has a history of discriminating against people like this, and if government is discriminating against them, we're going to be really careful to make sure government's doing it right. Well, affirmative action for black people hadn't been analyzed using strict scrutiny on the theory that the people who are being hurt, if they're being hurt at all by an affirmative action plan, are actually white males. And white males are not a suspect class in this country. They do not have a history of being discriminated against, unlike black people. Well, this United States Supreme Court, the one with Kennedy, decided that, in fact, when government seems to have a policy that might impact white males negatively, that should send off as much flares and bells ringing and whistles blowing as if government discriminates against black people, given our long and tortured history of discriminating against white males. Yes, that was sarcastic. But at the time, several of the justices says that's not going far enough. We need a more stringent test for affirmative action, which is basically never, ever. Government can never have an affirmative action program that is justifiable. That is where we will be heading in the next few years when the new Supreme Court will strike down affirmative action. Even if universities decide to not take President Trump up on his generous offer to give up on affirmative action, which they think they need to promote education, they will be told that they need to do that pretty soon by the United States Supreme Court. Bear in mind, of course, that Trump's Muslim ban, treating people differently on the basis of their religion, and I only know this because he repeatedly says it. No, the Supreme Court says, that doesn't have to be seen with strict scrutiny or any kind of heightened scrutiny. In fact, that presidential policy of discrimination and bigotry should be looked at with a test that is so lenient that it doesn't generally exist on the board. As long as it is facially legitimate, go ahead, discriminate against Muslims. Discriminate against gays. Why? Because what we've learned is in this new America, an America that's going to have the imprimatur of five members of the United States Supreme Court very, very soon, white males are a suspect classification. Muslims, gay people, nah. If government discriminates against them, we can assume that the motive is pure. Or we can just assume that we still like discriminating against them. So what the hell? Let's do an easier test.
Unbelievable.
But the media still looks at Donald Trump and his Supreme Court decision as if he's weighing the decision.
That kind of stupid.
They're looking at Trump's motives as if it's about something other than what will play well with his base, what will probably allow him to end the Mueller investigation or indictment, pardon himself, etc. No matter how many times Trump makes it clear that he has no interest in anybody but himself, the media is going to treat him as if there is some semblance of a normal presidency
we
there.
We need the fairness doctrine.
And let's just remind people that this is not just Trump. And this has been kind of a big deal again in the media. Oh, this is a Trump thing. This isn't a Trump thing. This is a Republican thing. We may be in pushing the envelope further and further. But let's be clear that Mitch McConnell, a lifelong Republican, Republican faithful and apparatchik, and clearly a party Republican, was behind the theft of the Supreme Court seat. It is Mitch McConnell who has made it perfectly clear that he believes in absolutely nothing. I love the way the media is looking at, again, the Supreme Court pick and how Mitch McConnell is going to react. They're pointing out that he's going to be shown to be a hypocrite with his arguments. Let's let the voter decide to hold off on Obama's Supreme Court pick. They're going to treat him as a hypocrite as if they actually think he cares. He just has made it perfectly clear that the only thing he's going to do is whatever benefits him and his party. It is a power grab. And the media doesn't know how to deal, even the legitimate media, doesn't really know how to deal with people who have no decency left. At long last, sir, have you no decency? It's not just Trump, it's the party. But that's okay, because the media tells us that the worst impulses of the Republican Party with the Supreme Court pick are going to be reined in. They're going to be reined in by the two Republican senators, two, who have shown an interest in abortion rights and lack of extremism, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. Even assuming that the Democrats hold fast, which is a huge assumption, I will be shook to the core if Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski or any other Republican moderate were to hold up any nomination supported by Trump and the Republican Party. We've already seen this story before with health care. We've seen it before with taxes. Oh, the moderate Republicans will swoop in and save us. Yes, they will commit career and professional suicide and probably impoverish their families by standing on principle.
Oh, please.
Sure, and that's why they're Republicans. Anyway, why can't liberals win? Because the media doesn't know how to deal with flat-out liars and propagandists. And because decent people cannot win a race to the bottom. And that is, again, what we are in, as we so often are. We've talked in the past on this show, or I've talked in the past on this show, about ethics and why we have them. One of the classes I teach. We have ethics, to shorten the process here, we have ethics, which are rules of behavior to promote the overall well-being of a civilized society. We know that we do not want people acting selfishly. We want people to act in ways that benefit society at large. And so we create these rules called ethics that people are supposed to follow. That's why we have them, because we are all better off. Apologies to Ayn Rand, who I don't need to apologize for because she's dead and evil, but to Ayn Rand supporters, in other words, most of the Republican establishment at this point. But we have ethics because we believe that people should consider other people and their actions and society at large, because we are all better off as a result. That's why Republicans don't like the concept of ethics. The idea of ethics, to some extent, is share and share alike. Don't act selfishly. Maybe even tax the wealthy to help support a civilized society. Well, the haves don't tend to like that. Also, the people who benefit from an ethical race to the bottom are the people who are willing to race to the bottom. The problem with an ethical society is people who are willing to cheat get the benefits of other people being decent, helping them across the street, returning their cell phone when it's lost. But if they're on the other side, they just do whatever's in their own interests. It's a good situation to be on that race to the bottom. It's like when you're driving in traffic and one idiot pulls onto the shoulder and passes a bunch of cars. And then everybody else decides, well, if that one idiot is going to do it, I'm going to do it too. And everybody starts pulling onto the shoulder. And the result is actually worse for everybody, except for the people who are willing to pass a couple of cars on the shoulder at first. We have a race to the bottom, and the people who are willing to race to the bottom are generally going to win. The Republicans have demonstrated that there is no principle, there is no higher value, there is no belief. Yes, there is no patriotism in what they stand for. What there is a desire to win, a desire to accumulate power by any means necessary. That is why Ayn Rand is seeing a resurgence in the Republican Party. It fits their motive. She fits their motive very nicely. When people aggrandize themselves by cheating, they set up a society where cheaters, in fact, do prosper. Take a look around. Cheaters are prospering right now. It is liberating not to have any ethics and to be able to go ahead doing whatever you want. Where have we seen the difference between the two political parties? Let's start with lying.
I know.
Trump does it all the time. We point that out. Everybody points that out. He's averaging several lies a day. But pointing that out and understanding what it means are two different things. And the fact is, Democrats just don't go there. The Republicans have been lying for a long time. It's not just Trump, though he's taking it to new levels. Democrats want open borders? Let's have a discussion of immigration policy, but let's stick to the truth. Democrats want open borders. Democrats don't want open borders. Democrats have kept the borders tight and protected for a long time. The people coming in are criminals. That's not true either. Democrats don't make shit up. They don't make lies up. Mitch McConnell saying the voters should decide was a lie. That wasn't what was going on. People are talking about how Democrats should emulate Republicans. But they won't, because we have values. We stand for something other than winning. We've seen the race to the bottom in Russia. And again, just take a moment to let this marinate. We have a political party that spent most of its existence battling Russia and communism and wrapping itself in the American flag, that is now saying that a hostile foreign power interfering with the U.S. election doesn't matter, let's cover it up. And the fact that they literally may be pulling the marionette strings on the President of the United States, oh, who cares, because we're winning and we have no values. This is a political party that is willing to stop people from voting. On July 4th, as we celebrate Patriotism Day, let's remember that one political party, the one that holds every single seat of power right now in America, is dedicated to stopping people from voting in every way imaginable. Striking them off the voting rolls, just making it a lot more difficult for them, gerrymandering our congressional districts so much that even if they do find their way to the ballot box, it won't even matter. The Janus decision destroying municipal unions. One thing that we did not talk about with that decision, it's a win-win for Republicans, because it not only destroys labor unions, weakening the power of the average American worker and therefore giving more power to the average American monopolist billionaire owner, in other words, the Republican base,
But what it also does, the other win-win side, is it impoverishes an important Democratic constituency. Unions, to some extent, where they exist, to some little extent, can counteract the power of corporate propaganda. Well, not anymore. They've just neutered that one. One of the most disturbing things of the past week is watching the rehabilitation of George W. Bush, Boy George. Because this is all Trump. The Republicans don't like this. Reasonable Republicans like Steve Schmidt go on TV and talk about how awful Trump is, and this is not the Republican Party they knew. Steve Schmidt, of course, was the guy who gave us Sarah Palin. Let's not forget that. Steve Schmidt was the guy who had no problem with the theft of a presidential election in 2000. This is George Bush. Because Democrats were going to lose that battle over the 2000 election. Why? They wouldn't stoop as low as Republicans. They wouldn't parade their campaign workers up to put them in front of the TV cameras and make believe the election was being stolen by the other side. They just wouldn't, because there are principles there. The Democrats will not have a media channel like Fox News. Liberal media like NPR, the so-called New York Times, will bend over backwards to be fair. Will check facts three times that are negative to conservatives to make sure that before they say something, they can back it up because of the withering criticism they're going to get for it. Fox News just makes stuff up. Sinclair just makes stuff up. Rush Limbaugh just makes stuff up. The conservative blogosphere just makes stuff up. But there is one thing that liberals have going for them. One thing that we have. And that is facts. Ultimately, we're right. As Philip K. Dick had famously said, some version of this, reality is what continues to exist when you stop believing in it. Republicans can dismiss climate change publicly all they want in order to further enrich themselves by destroying the planet. But the waves are still going to come on shore. The waves are still going to lap at them. Peter Navarro, Trump's economic advisor, can describe his job as looking for evidence to back up the president's hunches, as he recently did. But ultimately, the rules of economics will win out, and hunches will not be supported by reality. Americans will be getting, I hope, more woke as the facts come out and maybe become unavoidable. And ultimately, we have right on our side. But understand that when the other side has no ethics, that's just going to make them have to double down on the tools that they use to make sure that facts don't matter. You think things are divisive in this country right now? Just wait. They're getting worse. Because the Republicans need divisiveness. They need you to hate the other so that they can continue stealing from you without your bothering. They're going to have to up the propaganda so that you don't believe your eyes, you believe what you're being told. The rule of law, good luck with that one. We're going to be undermining the rule of law through judicial appointments and otherwise. And voting, when the tide turns strongly against Republicans, because enough people in this country are woke and angry about what's being done to them, the Republicans will make sure that they have that these people cannot actually vote them out of office, either because they will not be able to be allowed into a voting booth or because their vote won't matter because of how gerrymandered we are once they get there. And against that, we have civility. We have liberals who say you could cheat, you could break the rules, you could steal power, you could steal wealth. At the very least,
I am not inviting you to my party. You can't come to where I am. I'm not going to be your friend. I don't even want you in my restaurant. You want to trash civil society, as Michelle Goldberg said last week? Then you're going to lose the benefits of being a member of it. And so here's a call on this July 4th for real patriotism. And patriotism in many respects in the form of incivility. Because incivility may be one of the last tools we have left for a while to combat barbarism. Anyway, it was a heavy first show under the enhanced sound format. We hope you enjoyed, and we hope you will join us in future weeks. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. I'll get this right eventually. Like us on Facebook, please. Please go on if you've been waiting. This is a good time to go on and like us and subscribe to us. Please share us with your friends. Share us far and wide on iTunes and Podbean, where you can really hear our enriched sound. Visit our website, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.